for the privilege. Okay, grab the, there's a pink insert in your bulletin. You are going to need, I'll tell you right now, a writing utensil of some kind. So if you didn't bring one, there are some of these attendance pads you can come steal one out of as long as you put it back at the end of the service. Okay? So you're going to need that writing utensil here in just a few moments. We'll get to that in just a bit. If you're here, I mean, as a guest, and we're grateful the scouts are here, but otherwise, as a guest, we are so glad you're here. And trust this won't be the last time you come, that you'll come and worship with us and celebrate with us and enjoy life with us as we share Jesus with people. What a blessing it is. So, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine for a moment this scenario and just kind of put yourself in this place. One day you're reading your Bible and you are just kind of reading through the scriptures and you come to that passage that's there in your bulletin. If you've set your bulletin aside, you're going to need that as well. So that passage out of Matthew chapter 5, you're reading the Bible and all of a sudden you come to this passage and you read it and you say, it says, you're the light of the world. Like a city set on a hill. These are the words of Jesus, by the way, talking to his followers. You are the light of the world. Like a city set on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. You read those words and suddenly you start singing that old Vacation Bible School song, This Little Light of Mine. You ever done that? Yeah. So anyway, so you read these words and man, it's like all of a sudden it just hits you. This is who I'm supposed to be. I want to do that. That's what I want to be about when I'm living life. So we read that and we say, okay, I'm going to make a conscious effort from now on to do all that I can do in every moment of every day, at work, at home, in my community, to be a light for Jesus and shine brightly for the glory of God. I am all in. That's what I want to be. And you're just like so excited that you can't stand yourself. You're like, okay, I'm going to be a light for Jesus in the world every day. And you commit yourself to that. So we decide our lives are going to be a give witness to Him. We're going to be kind and gentle and loving and patient and joy-filled and good in every task and faithful to His call and His presence in our lives. We're going to be self-controlled in all parts of our lives. And we're going to be filled up with a peace that passes all human comprehension. In other words, we're going to live out, because we're going to be the light of the world, we're going to live out the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's going to be part of who we are every day. And then, a week or so later, you're reading the Bible again. And you come to that second passage that's there in your bulletin, out of 2 Peter, or out of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verses 8 to 16. And you start reading this passage, and you're just reading along and thinking, man, this is good stuff. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate. Da, da, da. You're reading all this stuff and all of a sudden it's verse 15 and verse 16 that hits you right between the eyes. They jump off the page and it says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed. And you read the rest of that. And so we're doing our very best to live out Jesus in our jobs or in our community, in our neighborhood, in our families. We're doing the very best we can do. And one day it happens. unexpected. You weren't thinking about this, but unexpectedly, someone in your neighborhood, someone in your family, maybe a clerk at Kroger or Walmart or somewhere that you frequent, says, "All right, I've had enough. All right, you have got me. I want to know what's going on with you. I want to know how you can live your life and be so content. I want to know what it is about your life that allows you to live the way you live. I don't get it. I've been watching you, and every time you come in here, every time I see you, I've been studying you. And I want to know the secret. I want to know." And then one of two things happens. One of two things. The first thing that might happen is that awkward moment happens. You know, that awkward time when you don't know what to say. You spit and you sputter and you're like, and you don't know exactly how to respond to that. You don't know how to tell them about the Jesus living in you. You don't know how to tell them about the life that you're trying to live. That's one way it happens. The other thing happens, possibility that happens, is, well, how many of you play tennis? Anybody play tennis? Really? One person? How many of you have played ping pong in your lifetime? Whew, good. Okay, so you're playing ping pong. Diana and I play ping pong every once in a while when we get on find a ping pong table. And inadvertently, Diana will lob give me one of those lobs. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And it bounces like, yes. And I just let it have it. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. And so that might be the other reaction we have in this conversation. You know, either we're awkward and we don't know how to answer the question, or we're just like, we're ready to go both barrels. We can't wait. Thank goodness, finally, somebody's asked me. Now I get to tell them. And somehow, miraculously, in whatever way you answer the question, whether you've stumbled your way through it or whether you've slammed the forehand, they somehow are satisfied with your answer. And then they ask the $64 million question. They say, "Well, how can I make that happen in my life?" They ask, "What if I want to follow Jesus? Can I do that right now?" And that begs this question. If that would be the case, if that would be the scenario, could we help our friends cross over that line of faith? Do we have the tools? Do we have the nuts and bolts present in our life that we could help that friend cross over that line of faith and begin a relationship with Jesus? That's why this whole nuts and bolts thing is so important. Because knowing what to do and how to say what we're supposed to say is one of those basic necessities in how we live life as a Jesus follower. You know, see, it's not fair. It's not fair for me or for Mel or for us as a church to say our mission as a church is to be all about connecting people who are broken, who are hurting, who live life far from God to the heart of Jesus, if we don't know how to do that. If I've not given you the tools, if we've not given you the tools in order to be able to do that. Now, you know, there are formulas for everything, right? I mean, any good scientist will tell you that. Any good cook will tell you there are formulas, they call them recipes. There are formulas for everything. In fact, if you go do a Google search and put in formula for success. Do you know there are formulas for success? In fact, there are 316 million websites that tell you how you can be successful in life. In fact, I read one that said, regardless of what success means to you and what areas you're looking for success, whether it be financial, emotional, social, spiritual, or physical, it's within your reach. And a lot closer than you think. In my newest book, blah, 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 blah. And he boils it all down, this author boils it all down to three principles to be successful in life. Now listen, I'm not this morning trying to oversimplify the whole process that we come to in helping someone cross over the line of faith and become a follower of Jesus. I'm not trying to oversimplify that of sharing Jesus with someone. But listen, my guess is that along the way, someone somewhere shared with each of us who are Jesus followers a plan, a formula in order to come to a relationship with Jesus. For some of us, it was this. You ever seen this booklet before? Four Spiritual Laws? Okay, so what? It's way back in the 80s. 70, I don't know when it was. Anyway, but some of us have went through this Four Spiritual Law booklet. Some of us went through something that looks like this. This is from the Billy Graham Association. Steps to Peace with God. Both of those two booklets kind of give a plan or a formula of how you can come to faith in Christ and how you can begin that journey with Christ. Now, whether someone took you through these, or maybe you went to a revival, maybe you went to some big crusade or something or other, and you went down front and you said yes to Jesus. What I'm convinced of is this. No matter what our level of Jesus consciousness, and no matter how that came about, if this book, the Word of God, is the key to helping us understand what it means to be a follower of Christ. It is the truth that is found in these pages that helps us to understand what it looks like and what it feels like and what it means to be a Christ follower. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. God's Word is the key. Now, here's why that's true. Now, this is where your insert comes in. So make sure you've got it. Got your writing utensil ready. Because I'm going to give you some things that are going to be on the blank side of the page. Okay? We're going to start there at number one here in just a second. But I am absolutely convinced that it is God's Word. It is the absolute truth that is found in these pages that solidifies for every person who comes into that relationship with Christ. It solidifies that whole process. It is what helps people to understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. Okay, so let's talk about what's there in that bulletin insert. Number one, and I'm going to give you some scripture references that you can go back later today and take a look at. I'm going to give you the gist of it, and then you can go back and look at it. But these verses help explain to you and explain to me and help us in explain to other persons as to why this is so important. Maybe there's someone here this morning that has never given their heart to Christ. I don't know that. But maybe you're here this morning, you've never said, I want to follow Jesus. Well, here's a way that you can understand why that's so important. And I'm going to start with that first one. The first scripture reference is this. Isaiah 53:6. Isaiah 53:6 says that we are like sheep. We are easily led astray. We, if left to our own devices, we are going to make a mess of things. Sheep, if you don't have a shepherd leading them, there's no telling where they're going to go. Sheep are like that. We are like sheep. We love to go off on our own directions. How many times have you and I thought to ourselves, oh, I know how to do that. I know how to get past that hurdle in my life. I know how to get around that problem in my life. And we go off on our own tangent. And our own little way of thinking. And what Isaiah says is, whoa, time out here. We're like sheep. We turn our own direction. Now here's the key part of that, is that the Lord has laid on Him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Now because, see, the next one is John 14:6. John 14:6 says that Jesus said this, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So when we're off on our own way, we're going our own, doing our own thing, going in the direction we think is right, suddenly we read these words that says, whoa, time out. There's only one way. There's only one way to eternal life. There's only one way to a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's through Him. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Third one is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is living and active, and it is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the attitudes and thoughts of the heart. Now, do you know what that means? It is the truth that is found in this book that pierces into our hearts and helps us understand that, man, we are messed up. If it wasn't for Jesus, we are in a total wreck. Hebrews 4:12 says that, man, it is the Word of God that pierces our hearts. That's why, listen, that's why when I share Jesus with people, I want to have the book with me. I don't just read it to them. In fact, I make them read it. Because that way it is God's Word that's piercing their hearts, not my words. Does that make sense? So it's the Word of God that's powerful. It's not my voice. It's not Mel's voice. It's not the voice of the church. It's not your voice. It is God's Word. It's God's voice that pierces into their hearts and allows them to see truth. Then the last one there is John chapter 8, verse 32. And what I love about this verse, it says that Jesus says that we can know the truth, and the truth will set us free. We can know the truth, and the truth will set us free from all the bondage, from all the captivity, from all the mess. Jesus said He'll set us free. Wow. You know, it was the truth that's contained in those four scripture references, in those four scriptures, that began to carve a place in my heart so that I would be open to the good news of Jesus. It was those four pieces from the Word of God. You remember last week I talked about how people had been praying for me and praying for me and praying for me. And what I didn't tell you last week, and maybe I touched on it, I don't remember. I slept a lot since then. But what I meant to tell you last week was the culmination of all those prayers. I wanted to tell you how it ended. Because how it ended was just this amazing thing. You remember I told you I used to go to that Campus Life group. I told you that last week. Campus Life was like Youth for Christ or, Young Life, FCA, that kind of thing, right? Well, this one year, we had this thing in Washington, D.C. And I thought, man, that's going to be the coolest thing ever. I get to go to Washington for 3 days, get to see all these sites. I just have to go to a couple sessions. No big deal. I didn't even want to be there, right? Listen. On the last day of that 3-day event, the very last session of that 3-day event, I was absolutely convinced that somebody had went up and talked to that speaker and he knew everything about me. Because that dude was speaking right directly at me, and whatever he was talking about was hitting me right there in the heart. I'm like, who told this guy? And then he says this. He says, look, I don't know any of y'all here. He said, but if you don't know Jesus this morning, here's how this is going to go. I want you to stay seated, and everybody else in this room is going to leave. Right. You think I'm going to do that? I tried to get up. 3 times I tried to get up. I couldn't move. I couldn't. My friends are all filing out. They're looking at me like, what is going on, man? You see, I had fooled all my friends. Every one of those people that went with me thought that I was already a Jesus follower. They had no idea. But God didn't. I didn't fool God. And it was His word that pierced deep within my heart. And I knew that something had to happen. And what I remember is a guy come to, after all my friends had left, and I am sitting there, and there's probably, 100 of us, maybe 200 of us, sitting in this room. And what I remember is this guy comes walking up to me, and he sits in the chair in front of me, and he says, do you know what just happened? I'm like, I have no idea what just happened. He says, do you have a relationship with Jesus? I said, I don't know. I thought I did. He says, do you want to know? I said, well, yeah, I do. And so he helped me. He talked about some scriptures with me. And then he prayed for me. And I prayed that sinner's prayer and gave my heart to Jesus. And it was like that light bulb moment came on for me. But then I got to tell you, about a month later, I was hanging out with some of my friends, and one of my friends, said, do you really understand what happened to you back in Washington? And I'm like, no. I know that dude came and prayed with me. I know that guy, I know he brought some scriptures. I don't know what that thing, little book he had was. I don't have a clue. He says, do you want to know? I'm like, well, yeah. And he took me through these scriptures in the book of Romans. And he helped me understand for the very first time what had happened to me in Washington, D.C. I want to give you those scripture references. I want you to fill those blanks out. Because here's the thing. Again, this is we're back to the nuts and bolts thing, right? These are what I'm trying to give to each one of us this morning before we leave here is an opportunity to say, okay, now I get it. If someone asks me the $64 million question, I can help them. I can walk them right through it. So here we go. You can check them out later and read them in context, but man, these are powerful words. The first one is Romans chapter 3 and 3:23. Romans 3:10. Did I say 3:10? Romans 3:10 and 3:23. And basically what those verses say is that there is none righteous. Not one person is righteous. And what that means is none of us are good enough. And basically we've all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all start this process at the same level ground at the foot of the cross. It's really important. Because sometimes we get this feeling that I'm not a bad person. No, we're all bad persons. We're all messed up. No matter if we want to admit it or not. The second one is Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And that verse says that the wages for our sin is death. What we deserve because of the sin, because of the brokenness, because we are so messed up, because we choose our own way, what we deserve is death. Eternal separation from God. That's what we deserve. But God offers us a gift, and God offers this gift, and it's free. It's called eternal life. Now, I didn't have a full grasp on those words, but I knew this much. I knew that I wanted Jesus forever. And I was all in on those verses. The next one is Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Romans 5, 7 and 8. And it says, on the rarest of occasions, someone might give their life for someone who's good or righteous. But, while we were all sinners, while we were all living lives separated from God, Jesus died for us. Jesus went and died on a cross when we were messed up. The next one is Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 13. Now listen, this says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I cannot tell you in my lifetime how many people have said, that's it? You don't have a whole list of rules that you have to follow, I have to do this every day? No. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. You'll be saved. I'm good with that. I love those words of Paul to the Roman church. I love what that says. Words of comfort, words of assurance, words that we can know. And I have to tell you that when my friend sat down with me and said, okay, these are these scriptures, and he made me read them, it was like the light bulb came on all over again. It was like, wow! That's it! And I thought, man, that's... time and time again... I've used those scriptures over and over and over again to talk to people about Jesus. They're that important. It's just a simple understanding of who Jesus is and what he's done for each one of us. Listen, there are three things that you and I really need to know. Now, there's not room on your bulletin insert for this, but you can find a place maybe. First of all is this, Jesus loves us all. If you're here this morning, you didn't know that before this, I want you to know it now. Jesus loves us all. Doesn't matter where you've come from, what you're doing, what you've done, where you've been. Jesus loves us all. Man, woman, boy, girl, Jew, Gentile, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're purple or green or brown or pink. Jesus loves us all. And what he did on that cross was for everyone. Can't miss that. Second thing is that Jesus wants to be our friend and he wants us to have real life. Not some mediocre, half-baked life. See, what Jesus said is, I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Abundantly means full and running over. We can have that kind of life as a follower of Jesus. And Jesus wants us to follow him. Those three things, we just need to know. Now, some of you are here this morning and maybe you're here and you're like, man, I've never heard any of this stuff before. And maybe that's the word of God that's pierced your heart this morning. You're like, I've never done any of that. I've never surrendered my heart to Jesus. I've never prayed a prayer. And maybe today you want to do that. I would love to talk to you. If you want to come down front during the song, that's cool. But I would love to have a chance to have a conversation with you. Some of you are here and you have been praying. You wrote down five names last week, right? And you started praying for those five people. Well, you know what? Maybe they have spiritual questions. Now you have true answers from the Word of God. There's a great book that I just started reading. I've gotten into this thing. Three or four chapters in. And you know, sometimes in the midst of spiritual conversations, it gets really awkward. You ever had that moment? Or you really weren't sure how to quite get into it? Listen, there's a great book. Let me just recommend this to you. Go out, you can find it on Kindle for about $6 or $5, I don't know. But it's called Beyond Awkward. If you're struggling with how to present Jesus, how to turn conversations around, by the way, on the back side of that bulletin insert are 10 questions that you can use to turn conversations to Jesus. So that's another little tool. Some of the nuts and bolts to help us be the most effective Christ followers we can be. Now, I don't know where your heart is today. But don't leave here and not listen to the Spirit of God. Don't leave here ignoring that beating in your chest. You're like, man, I want whatever that is, I want it. It's here and it's available today. So I want to give you a minute. Just let the Spirit of God simmer over the top of us. And then we're going to sing. And if you want to respond in any way, you're welcome to as we sing.